Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Kings chapter 7. Verse 1 reads, Elisha replied, Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, how could this happen? You'll see it with your own eyes, answered Elijah, but you won't eat any of it. Now, here's the deal. There was that siege, if you remember, around the city of Samaria. The armies of the Arameans were gathered all around the city, and the people were starving. But we're told that in verse 3, there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine's there, and we will die. And if we stay here, well, we'll die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, Look, the king of Israel's hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. And they left camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, clothes, and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, Hey, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called the city gatekeepers and told them, We went into the Aramean camp, and no one was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents just left as they were. The gatekeeper shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. The king got up in the night and said to his officers, I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we're starving, so they've left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out, and then we'll take them alive and get into the city. One of his officers answered, Have some men take five of the horses that are left in the city. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yes, they will only be like all these Israelites who are already doomed. So let us send them to find out what happened. So they selected two chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, Go and find out what's happened. They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messengers returned and reported to the king. Then the people went out, plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seah of the finest flour sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said. Now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate, and the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died. Just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. It happened that the man of God had said to the king, About this time tomorrow, a seah of finest flour will sell for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer said to the man of God, Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, how could this happen? And the man of God replied, You'll see it with your own eyes, but you'll not eat any of it. And that is exactly what happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gateway. I love this story of these lepers. I mean, they were rocket scientists in the making. They reasoned to themselves, look, we're lepers. We're dying a slow death anyways. But an even worse death than dying of leprosy is starving to death. So let's head over to the enemy camp, and maybe they'll feel sorry for us and give us some food. Then again, they might kill us, but I'd take a quick death over a slow death any day. There was three chances of dying and one chance of living. And they chose that narrow chance to live, and this was a result of what happened. And because they already lived outside the city walls and got the scraps that were thrown down to them, they didn't have to worry about being seen as defectors anyways. But when they approached the Arameans, they saw that God had caused a noise to frighten them into fleeing more than 25 miles away. As Warren Wiersbe pointed out, The Lord had defeated the Moabites by a miracle of sight in chapter 3, and now he defeated the Syrians with a miracle of sound. Now, there's a proverb that says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues," which is why you should never take up running. But always harassed and nervous, always looking over their shoulder, and never at peace, this is a picture of what happens to people when they don't put their trust in God. And this whole story is also a parable or picture of grace. The people in the city were wicked and didn't follow God, but God delivered them again at Elisha's word to give them yet another opportunity to get themselves right with God. The ruler's response to this was, "It must be a trick. I mean, there's no such thing as a free lunch, and besides, this is all a trap," which is often the response you get from people when you share the gospel and they think, "This is too good to be true. It can't be that simple. I can't just put my faith in Jesus and God will forgive me." But the response of the lepers to this great news of deliverance is surely what we must feel as Christians. Some news is just too good to keep to yourself. Then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. Let us go at once and report this." Believer, isn't that how we should think about the good news of the gospel? That God will free us from the guilt of sin and even more the power and grip of sin is a truth that's monumental in and of itself. That he will set us free from what's ailing us? I pray that you would have the same thought if you could keep silent. That what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it in. You see, sharing the gospel or good news might seem scary, but like these lepers find out, you don't have to be anything special because, after all, it's not about you. You're just a leper with good news to share with others who need it. Like the old saying goes, and probably comes from this story, you're just one beggar showing a bunch of other beggars where to get bread. And remember, these lepers had a death sentence on them already. It was like they had nothing to lose and everything to gain. Our love of reputation and what people think of us is temporary. It only lasts a brief time. But what we do for Jesus in sharing the eternal gospel and praising and glorifying him by telling people about how wonderful he is, well, that's the kind of thing that's eternal. And Whitfield used to say, much like these lepers that were already dying men, "I preach the gospel as a dying man to dying men." You know, there's nothing more dangerous than a Christian who's got nothing to lose. And when you do, when you give it all away anyways, there's nothing like it. The blessed joy of not just receiving, but giving is the best blessing of all. It is indeed more blessed to give than receive. Imagine what Christmas would be like if you never gave gifts as well as getting them. If you just sat there getting present after present, but never got to give joy to others and see the faces light up on anyone else who received something you gave because you loved them. You know, life can be like that. If we're only taking in and never giving out, trust me when I say that as dying men and women, the only thing we can take with us into the next life is someone else. Therefore, don't keep it all to yourself. In the words of Jesus, "Freely you have received, now freely give." Well, thanks for joining me today on this journey through the Word in 2 Kings chapter 7. I'll see you tomorrow for 2 Kings chapter 8.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.